to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen. See how we are still on our journey or pursuit of excellence in prayer. Amen. And we are building precept upon precept, amen, line upon line, truth upon truth, and trusting God that would have made progress in our prayer habits and maturing and getting into a place of excellence. Remember, this is our year of excellence. We want to do things excellently, and prayer is now our focus and our thrust. We want to build our prayer lives and want to inculcate excellence in it. And last Sunday, we spoke or we decided to embark on a learning experience with Jesus Christ as we cried out, just like one of His disciples says, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we said we're looking at model prayer that Jesus gave them, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but rather deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you and I as believers must have of a necessity a prayer life. Amen. And we said, Jesus, in His teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, sort of mandated us or put us under obligation to develop, cultivate, and build a prayer life. Hallelujah. And we said, we laid some very keen foundations. We said, your journey towards excellence in prayer begins appropriately with your word life. Amen. Your devotional or quiet time as a believer is crucial and critical in this enterprise of prayer. Amen. We said that it's the bedrock and true foundation. Your word life is the bedrock and the true foundation of any meaningful and consistent life of prayer. Amen. And then one of the other things that we said is that prayer is a learned and acquired discipline. It is not inherited. Amen. Hallelujah. It is not in anyone's gene. Every one of us learn and must learn how to pray. Soon as you get born again and you put your mind to it, God the Holy Spirit, who is giving us our teacher, our advocate, our counselor, our mentor, our guide, will come alongside of us and will help us master the art and discipline of prayer. Amen. And we said that Jesus taught. He taught it. Amen. And the disciple, as we said, at the beginning of Luke chapter 11, they observed Jesus praying. And that is when that disciple made that request
not only on behalf of those disciples, but you and I that have come this far. And he made that request for all of us, Lord, because all of us must enter into the school of prayer and learn from the Master how to pray well, amen, and to pray excellently. So Jesus taught that day on some principles of prayer and our approach to God in prayer, in the place of prayer, some of the things that we must do, some of the things, our posture, and our hearts, you know. And I dare say that I believe that the disciples learned how to pray, amen, if you look at the results that they had in ministries, because prayer will position you in that place where you would invariably get proofs, tangible proofs, about the power of God in whatever assignment God has given you to do. Amen. And so Jesus taught his disciples, and we are saying that they learned it. We dare say they learned it, they practiced it, and they became skillful at it. Hallelujah. And if you and I would also put ourselves to learn how to pray by simply getting on our knees and getting to the business of praying, we would, you know, be excellent in prayer and by correlation, get proofs and get answers to prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. And one of the key things that Jesus gave in his opening teaching on prayer was for us to approach God as our Father. Amen. And we emphasize that you and I must remember when we stand in the place of prayer that we have not come to an unknown God, but to a God that has consented to reach out to you and I and has brought us to him in a covenant relationship, you know, Father-Son covenant relationship. And that is what Jesus said, qualifies us to help us address God as our Father. Amen. And we said, if we look at the scriptures, once again, the bedrock, the foundation upon which to build our prayer lives is the scriptures that grants us the boldness and all the confidence that we need to approach God in the place of prayer and address him as our Father. He said that in John 1, 12 to 14, all who believed in him, he gave them power. He gave them the right to call him or to become the sons, daughters of God. Hallelujah. And we said that that wonderful privilege of addressing God as a Father is not just for anybody, not for the entire creation, but those who consent to cut this covenant or to come into this covenant relationship with God through being born again. Hallelujah. And so we are talking about the born again person who has now become a believer. If you are a believer, it means that you are born again. You believe the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for us, so that we who were formerly afar and alienated from God has been brought nigh through the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. He paying the price for our sins so that we could be reconciled unto God. And this is what brings us into that relationship with God. And then he seals us with his Holy Spirit. Amen. And then it is that Holy Spirit that energizes us. He's the power, or he's the spirit behind the cry of Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Else, if you are just going to rely on some of the things that we were taught as we grew up in Sunday school, as we were young and we were learning, or we're being taken through some of our learning processes of the Lord's Prayer, and you have still not matured therein, and you see it as a poetry recital, and you are simply just reciting your prayers without having that qualification, without having those guarantees of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, because we have been sincerely and truly born again, somewhere along the line, you will stop praying. Amen. You will be frustrated in your prayer enterprise. Hallelujah. Amen. And that it's imperative that you get born again. Sincerely get born again. Amen. And the born-again experience, once again, it is not inherited. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you have been in church, whether from childhood, you have followed daddy, you followed mommy all the way to church, you have enrolled in the choir, your name is in the church's book, you pay your tithe. If you have not done that of yielding and submitting the throne of your life and your heart to God, that is the born-again experience. You living, vacating the throne of your heart, handing it over to Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, then you get frustrated in the prayer chamber and you don't get the results as much as you would want it. And that frustrates you. And then somewhere along the line, you just abandon this whole enterprise of prayer. Because in your own strength, you can achieve something. Amen. God has given us resources. God created us with creative powers and abilities. Amen. And sometimes we can do a lot. Amen. We can do a lot without prayer. Amen. In our own strength, in our own intellect, with our own abilities, creative. God created us that way. And so sometimes it is very tempting, you know, to abandon God and to depend on self, because we know people who don't pray. We know some of the things that they have been able to achieve in life. Amen. Because man on his own was created with some creative abilities that enables us to do things. Amen. And to achieve a certain measure of success in life. And throughout the world, they are sprinkled all over. And for the believer, however, that is not it. Amen. We vacate the throne of our lives and allow God to take center in our lives. Hallelujah. In honor to Him. Amen. Because we know that we are not here on our own. We're created by God. Amen. And we are here to do His will. Hallelujah. And so it's important that when God takes control of our lives and we have yielded the throne of our lives to Him, that is when His Spirit is ordering our footsteps, then and alone we can say that we are born again and God is the one who is in control and God is the one who is giving the result. We give Him credit for all the things that are happening in our life. Amen. So that is it. Our Father. Amen. And then the next line He gives is that who art in heaven. Amen. He said, pray in the place of prayer. Pray and say, our Father who art in heaven. Amen. And for this, let me say that heaven, it brings, Jesus introduces something very important. Heaven is the dwelling place. That's the first thing I want to say. The first thing I want to teach is that heaven is the dwelling place and the throne room of God. Amen. The Bible lists three heavens described in the Bible. Amen. The heaven that is above our heads, that's the clouds that we see. Genesis 1, 8, 9. Job 26, 8, it will tell you. Then the heavens that are beyond, if you like, our gaze or the clouds. And that is the starry space. And that's the world of the galaxies. Hallelujah. That's Genesis 1, 14 to 19. Genesis 15, 5, you can look for it. I'm not going on that, but it's just worth mentioning because Christ said, when you pray, you call Him our Father who art in heaven. And then the third heaven, which Paul describes, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 7. And that is what we mean, where God dwells. Amen. The third heaven described in the Bible is where God dwells. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 7. Paul tells us how he was captured, whether in the spirit or not. He says he cannot tell, but then he doesn't want to boast about it. Then he was taken there where he saw fathomable things that cannot be recorded for our learning. Hallelujah. And that is the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66 verse 1 says this, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Amen. For all these things, he's talking about all the things that you and I as human beings can see, or can sense, or can feel. Amen. For all these things, my hand has made. Hallelujah. And so all these things have come into being. That's the Amplified version. Let me take it again. Isaiah 66 verse 1. It says that, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. For all these things, my hand, this is God speaking, my hand has made. And so all these things have come into being. Is that if we see them, if we sense them, if we feel them, it is so because He, God, is taking responsibility, or He's taking authorship for all the things. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's important so that when you stand in prayer and you call God our Father, you need to have a sense of the awesome power that you and I have come to. Hallelujah. Like somebody says, so that you know that you have not come to a small God. Hallelujah. He can't be compared to any of the deities that you can name them around. Name them. You can talk all those pretentious river gods and who have claimed some mountainous terrain as their own, and some rivers and things, and they are just leading people astray. Hallelujah. That is what God is saying here. He's saying that all these things have been created by me. Hallelujah. So when he talked the Bible, when Jesus is talking about, when you come and say, our Father who art in heaven, all these things should, in the twinkling of the eye, just come to your mind, come to the forefront of your mind as you stand there in the place of prayer to worship and to petition the King and the possessor of the heavens and the earth. You know that you have come not before a small God, not before a small deity. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you can never rise above your concept of God. Amen. If your thoughts about Him is a small God, and you are thinking about Him in lines with no small thin river gods, so will your prayers, so will your attitude towards Him be. Amen. And that is why I said that I gave you an idea that God, we are going to say our Father, we are talking about God Almighty, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, who sits in the third heavens. And He's saying here that heaven is His dwelling place, and the earth that you and I are so proud about, the earth that you and I, the thing that we are seeing and that we don't want to die, we don't want to leave. He's saying that it is His footstool. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you will never rise above your concept of God. And in that place of prayer, if you see God as indeed the Almighty, the self-existing God, the one who created everything and without whom nothing was made that was made, oh, when you come with a certain measure of confidence. You will come with a certain measure of awe. You will come with a certain measure of reverence. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it's important that we don't trivialize anything that Jesus was teaching. And as I've said earlier, you will never be able to have these things distilled into your soul if you don't make your habit, you don't resort to the living Word of God. Because the understanding of this concept of God, who He is, they are all stated and they are all His past. They are all revealed in the Word. You can't rise above your knowledge of the Word. Well, I always say that your strength as a believer, there is a strong correlation between your word life and your life as a believer, your faith life, and every other thing that you are ever going to be able to do as and achieve as a Christian. It is all hinged on your word, the scriptures, the holy word, the living word of God. So he says, pray and say, our Father who art in heaven, more or less the God that superintends the earth. The earth is your footstool. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is before this awesome God that you and I have come. And it is before this awesome God who has brought us into a father-son relationship so that He would take care of us. Just like any earthly father or parent does by being mindful, by being obliged to take care of all our legitimate needs. Amen. But that is for the earthly, that there's a limitation to the earthly father-parent or parent-son relationship. Hallelujah. Because we know about the limitation placed upon humankind. how fragile we are. And that is why when we read John chapter 1, the verses that follow, the Apostle John makes us recollect that we have not been born just by the will of man, but we have been born by the will of God. It is God that willed us into being. Yes, we came through our parents, but superintending and overarching our parents' desire to have children and we even manifesting or being born is the will of God. If God did not will us, our parents, He would have, let me put it this way, He would have shut the womb of our parents and we would never have been born. And so that our appearance here on earth, it is not by chance. It is not by the will of our parents alone, but the overarching will of the possessor of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty. Hallelujah. So yes, God has brought us into a relationship, a father-son relationship, but we are not talking about any earthly or any parallel to the earthly relationship that we have with our parents, but a superior relationship, because this God who has consented to covenant and bring us into this father-son relationship, He is the God of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. So our parents may have, they, as human beings, they have limitations. Man by nature is fragile. The Bible says it's like grass. Some of us who relied on our parents and they are not there. Even before maybe you could have finished the university, your dad was dead. For some of us, even if they were not dead, they are not available. They ran away. They shirked their responsibility. Hallelujah. So even that father-son or parent-daughter or whatever relationship, they are fragile. But not this one that God has enlisted or recruited us into or covenanted us into. It's a lasting relationship. Hallelujah. Because this is God, a holy God. The Bible says He does not lie. He doesn't change His mind. He has brought us into an everlasting relationship that will traverse this one and go on into eternity. But you won't know this if you don't resort to the Word again. Your Word life, your devotional life. That is where we glean all these truths. And when we come to the Word, the living Word of God, He says they are spirit and they are life. The Holy Spirit Himself, as we sit under His anointing, as we are doing the devotional life, He will distill these truths into our soul. They will fasten themselves upon our heart. They won't be shakable. And you'll be able to stand and stand firm and stand strong as a believer. The way and the reason why some of us keep on drifting away from the house of God is because we don't have an anchor for our souls. We don't have an anchor because the Word life is missing. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural activity. Doing your devotional life, it is a supernatural activity. And that is where God injects supernatural life into our lives so that we can live this Christian life. It is His life, not our lives. His life lived in and through us. And the more we come, the more we do our devotion, the more we pray, then all these lines keep on, if you like, it is topped up. Then we are almost always, my God, at the devotional life and the place of prayer and the time of worship, before we leave, there will be a top up, grace top up, so that we can live in the, not in our own tiny puny strength, but in the strength that God supplies. Hallelujah. That is the difference that marks that believer, that brother, that sister, who, despite all the challenges that he or she is going through, is still persevering. Amen. I never saw a persevering Christian who hasn't got a stable prayer life and a devotional life, because that is where we draw our strength from. Amen. So I'm saying man is limited, highly limited in what they can do for us. However, as we come to God, the one who sits, the Bible says, on the circle of the earth, as its creator and ruler, Jesus wants us, He wants us to just conceptualize Him as someone with unlimited power and authority. Unlimited power and authority. That will be lateralized to us to be able to get on with us, our life's assignments. You need strength. And for us as believers, we have renounced self. We have become God-dependent. We have said, God, we know, yes, you gave us some talent and some gifts, and on our own we can achieve much, but we are not counting on it. We are counting on the superior strength that you constantly distill into our lives, because we are looking beyond this life. We are looking into spending eternal life with you as Son and Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants us to have that concept in us, that God our Father is someone with unlimited power and authority. All based, and all this is based on the personal revelation of himself to us through the scriptures. Amen. And once again, because I want these truths to sink into our souls, I keep on saying them over and over again. I'm not going to get tired of saying them until the truths have taken hold of us. Hallelujah. And brought life. For many of us as believers, our lives are insipid. It is tasteless. There are no proofs. So we get tired, we get bored, and we drift away. Hallelujah. But God wants to give us proofs, tangible proofs. In a place of prayer, you will get proofs. You will get tangible proofs. Amen. In the place of prayer, you will. Because God answereth prayer. His ears are constantly attentive to the prayer of the righteous, not because of something we did or did not do, but because we have covenanted with him by being born again and have been brought a son and father relationship. And he cares for us. Hallelujah. And you will always find it difficult to hold these truths in your mind or heart if you will only depend on hearsay. Amen. Oh, it is good to come to church and hear constantly. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is not enough. You must go. You must take pains and go. Thank God for all the resources now. Now God, in his wisdom and by his providential grace, this phone that is available for all. The Bible apps are available for all. The word has been translated into all kinds of languages. You can't read. Don't worry. You can get a tablet phone. You can invest. You can get a phone that where you download an app that will read the Bible to you in Chi, in Ga, in whatever language you speak. They are all now available. All these resources are available. Hallelujah. Amen. And you must make the effort, the time and the effort to come to the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures yourself, and experience what I'm trying to teach. Hallelujah. Amen. That don't depend on hearsay. Take time and pains to familiarize yourself in the scriptures, either by reading and studying them yourself, or offering yourself for tuition by sitting under anointed men and women gifted by God to the church to help us all in our education about who this God is. Amen. Who is this God? They are foundational truths, and they are of a necessity. You need it if you are going to be excellent in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. It should just draw to your mind a life of impossibilities in the place of prayer. It's not an ordinary being that you have come to. And if you are a believer, oh, leave them alone. Those who are going to the occult, and so what? Oh my God, there is here power far superior than all the occultic powers that you can think about. Name them.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service, also at 6 p.m. Remember that all our services are streamed online at Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on our Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also listen to us at any time on our online radio station, Radio HCI Today, accessible via the Radio King and Zeno apps. You can download these apps on the Google Play Store and Apple Store.